Hi, and welcome to Love Girls, the podcast. My name is Michaela Hugh Shaw, and I am the vice president of Love Girls Magazine. And today, Jasmine Babers, the founder of Love Girls Magazine, and I, we are talking to Vina Love. And she is the daughter of Kid Capri, who is a DJ and Grammy award-winning music producer. And Vina has been featured on Growing Up Hip Hop New York, and she has produced two singles, which are so much fun, and they have two completely different vibes. One is called Drip, and one is called Air. You'll have to go listen to those. And Jasmine and I are talking to her about her life in the music industry, who inspires her, and the challenges of staying true to herself while she is pursuing a music career. Thank you so much for taking the time for us today. We're really excited to be talking with you.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, awesome. Well, we will just get started with everything. What song would you absolutely kill at karaoke?
Dang, that's kind of hard. I know. Any Mary J. Blige song.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
you can't go wrong with her. What song would you sing in the shower right now?
In the shower, I would sing "Sweet Love" by Anita Baker. Oh. That's my favorite song to sing in the shower.
That's beautiful. And one more thing, what show are you currently binge watching right now?
I actually just finished Raising Dion on Netflix, and I'm absolutely in love with it.
Ooh, I've heard really good things about that show.
Yes, it was great. And Ozark is really good too on Netflix.
Ozark is a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Ozark is definitely a hit.
Jasmine, what are you binge watching?
So currently, I don't know if y'all watch Amazon Prime, but they have a show. It's called Marvelous Miss Maisel, and it's really, really good. Season 3 just came out, and I can't help myself. I'm going through it really, really quickly, and it only comes out like once a year. So I'm trying to slow down, or else I'm going to be really sad when the last episode ends. But yeah, it's so good. 10 out of 10 recommend.
That's always such a sad moment when a show ends. Like, you've made it through all of the seasons.
Right?
Yeah.
Sad. What are you watching, Michaela?
I have been watching Living Single, so kind of a throwback.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I love it. It makes me feel like I'm in New York. I wish I was.
I binge watched A Different World. That's one of my favorite shows in the whole world. And it came on Netflix at one point, and I watched every single season for like a week straight.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a psychopath.
I'm really interested in learning a little bit more about your childhood. Maybe for you to describe what it's like growing up with a parent who's really, really successful in the music industry.
Actually, I lived a very normal childhood. My dad spent a lot of time on tour. When my parents separated, I was about 5 years old, and we had moved back to Harlem, me and my mom with my grandmother. And we moved with my grandmother and all my guy cousins, so I was the only girl of like 10. And I went to public school right across the street from my grandmother's building. I had a bunch of friends, like, my friends were guys, so that's really like a lot of things that I learned about how guys work and like what not to do as a woman and things of that sort. Of course, I learned from the two beautiful Black queens I had raising me, but just, you know, being outside and being with my friends. So I did live a normal childhood, and people didn't really treat me different if they knew who my dad was, people didn't really treat me different because I was still living a very normal life, and I wasn't the bougie kid in front of a bunch of kids who didn't really have anything. So it was pretty normal.
No, it definitely is. And so Jasmine and I, we were all listening to your songs earlier, and we were just talking about how you're such a talented vocalist. And I know that your dad is very well connected in the music industry. But was music a personal passion for you, or do you feel like you landed here because of you know, how you were raised? What do you think? Like, do you absolutely love what it is that you do?
I 100%. I'm beyond in love with what I do. I started dancing when I was 2 years old, And I never got off stage since then. So once I got to high school and I was in a performing arts high school and I was able to sing, dance, and act all at the same time and choreograph and direct and do all these things at the same time, like when it was time for me to figure out what I wanted to do with my career, that was exactly what I was going to do. Bring it all together and make a career out of it. So I feel like it was always meant for me. I just had to figure out my direction. And I feel like we finally figured it out. So, yeah.
No, that's so dope. And I know, I mean, music is hard. And you have so, so much talent. We know that, yeah, of course. We know that you write music as well. And you wrote Air and you wrote Drip. They're two totally different vibes. Me and Michaela were talking about how different both songs were, but how we feel like your personality comes out in both of them. And I know songwriting must be hard. I just want to know what it's like, what your writing process is like, and how you want people to feel when they listen to your music.
Sometimes I like to build a beat from scratch. Like if I'm depending on the producer I'm sitting with, if I could sit in a studio for 12 hours with one producer, then we good to go. We lit. Like you understand what I'm saying. I get what you're saying. Like we could make the perfect song and make it from scratch. That's the best. But other times, sometimes I'll just get a beat from a producer and I'll hear it. That's pretty much what happened with Drip. Like my producer played the beat on live and I heard him, was like, yeah, I need this ASAP. And I wrote to it right away within an hour. I went to record it and I loved how it came out. So it's really just a vibe. Like I just go off whatever the vibe is and see what happens.
That's so cool. Jasmine and I were saying Air and Drip are like two completely different vibes. Do you have a vibe that you would say that you like more, like a genre that you like to write to or write for more, like versus hip hop or rapping, or do you love them equally?
I think I love them equally. I mean, I could write anything. R&B is just in my blood. Like that was the kind of music I was raised on. So it just comes out of me so much naturally. To write a country song, I would have to sit there and listen to country music for a little bit, like for about an hour, just listen to a bunch of country songs. Like, okay, because realistically, you could take a bunch of lyrics and just change the beat up. And you can have the same lyrics, but it's a country song, the same lyrics, it's a rock song, and the same lyrics, and it's an R&B song. It's really just about your delivery and, you know, the beat and how certain things, like, you know, come together. But, like, I definitely love the R&B vibe more than anything.
That's dope. I never actually thought about it like that. But what's important is, like, the lyrics and then how you convey it. So that's really, really cool. I was wondering about Michaela and I were both women of color. We're both Black women. And we both understand that a lot of times as a woman of color, you might face different challenges than other people, other women or other men might face. And I'm curious to know, in the music industry, you know, do you find it to be difficult to stand up against adversity? I don't know if you heard, but recently, one of my favorite shows, America's Got Talent, Gabrielle Union was a judge. She spoke out about some toxic things that were happening in her workplace and her workplace culture. And she was let go. And so I'm interested to know kind of how you have been treated in the music industry. And have you ever had pressure from producers or agents or publicists to tone down who you are, your Blackness?
I definitely don't find it difficult at all to stand up against adversity. I'm not frequently vocal, because I like to take a step back and really analyze things. And, you know, if you have an opinion on every single thing, people don't really want to listen when it matters. So I don't like to speak much. But if I ever have to, 100%. And I'm going full throttle. You're going to hear everything I need to say. We're going to talk about this, whether you like it or not. I'm going to have my points. And I said what I said. And that's that. And at the end of the day, either you're going to love me or you're going to hate me. And I'm not going to fight with you about that. If something's wrong, then it's wrong. And I'm going to say that it's wrong. And that's just period, point blank. But I don't really receive pressure from producers or agents or anything like that, because when I show up, you know what I'm expecting, you know what I want, you know what I need. And that's all we're here for, to take care of business, and everything else really doesn't matter. So whatever you're saying, you work for me. I don't have to do anything to please you. Or if we're gonna try to please each other, it has to be mutual. We have to be able to, you know, vibe together. Like I was saying about the producers sitting in the studio for 12 hours. Right. If we can't vibe together, it's not gonna work. If we're sitting in the studio and you feel like, you know, all right, I'm just working for Vina, you're not having fun. If I'm in the studio and I feel like, all right, I'm just doing this song for this producer, we're not having fun. So the finished product is not going to be what we ultimately need it to be. So all that other stuff really doesn't matter. We got to get the job done. But I will say, being I'm a Black woman as well, and my mother's a Black woman, my team is full of Black women. I probably have like 3 male team members, but for the majority, it's a group full of Black women. And I'm sure we all face, like, you know, little sneaky things from certain guys, like saying certain things. I've been offered like, hey, like, let's have sex and I'll do this for you. Like, really? Really? Like, you really mean that? And it happens. It's true. But I definitely, you know, speak my mind. And it's probably happened to me once or twice, and the 2 times that I've, you know, stood up for myself, and it's never happened again. I guess word got around, like, all right, she's not the one, like, right. Her team is not the one, her manager's not the one, like, she's not on that vibe. And more than that, like, everything that I have, I've worked for. I've never been given anything. So I guess you could kind of just tell that vibe when you start to work with me or watch what I do.
I love it.
Yeah, you have this unapologetic vibe to you, and it really is inspiring. So I want to talk about social media. Social media is what it is, but do you ever feel pressured on social media specifically? And do you read the comments? Do you get trolls? Like, do you experience that? Because, you know, your life is in the limelight at all times. And I know that can be kind of hard sometimes too.
The comments, I do read the comments. I read everyone's comments.
Really?
I literally sit there, like, when I'll post something and I'll leave it. And I'll come back to it and read all the comments. I never post a picture and sit there and, like, constantly, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, read every comment that comes, like, within the minutes. Like, I never do that. But, yeah, I read everybody's comments. I don't respond. The reason I don't respond is because if I respond to 10 people and then 20 minutes later, another 10 people come and comment and I don't respond to them, now my DM has a bunch of hate mail. If I don't respond to anyone, no one will feel personal. Like, it won't be a personal thing. You get what I'm saying? Right. And it's happened to me so many times. I tried different ways to maneuver. Like, okay, maybe if I just say thank you to everybody, like one comment and say thank you to everybody, like maybe everybody would be satisfied. But no, people want to feel, they want it to be personalized. So if I just don't say anything at all, that kind of like works out, I guess. And it's a little frustrating too, because I don't want people to feel like I'm not connected with them, which is why I get on live. If I get on live and I speak to them, you know, like face to face, or and I'm answering questions within the live, like it feels a little bit more personal with everybody. But I don't really deal with trolls like that. If I see something negative, I delete it. When you come to my page, I want you to only see positive things, because that's really what I'm about. And I feel like everybody kind of gets like the gist of who I am and what I do in terms of like the positivity. So I don't really get a lot of trolls, but when I do, I definitely like delete them so other people don't see it. And then I don't want somebody to say something negative and now my followers are like attacking this person, and like now it just becomes bigger. Like it's more of a problem. So I just, you know, try to keep it positive at all times. I don't feel, let me not say I don't feel the pressure, because I do take my time where I'll get off Instagram for like 2-3 days. Like I just need a break, because you're on there watching people's opinions on you. and you're constantly, you have people on there telling you that they love you and they look up to you and they would do anything to be around you or do anything to be in your face. And it's like, that takes a toll on a normal person like myself to know a person looks at me almost in a sense of how they look at God, kind of like the way people speak mm-hmm. sometimes is like, really, like you really look at me like I'm God. And I can't, it becomes difficult to maintain, if you could understand what I'm saying.
No, I definitely understand what you're saying. I really appreciate the fact that you focus on making your social media a positive place, a positive place for other people, a positive place for yourself, because taking care of yourself online is so, so important. Because the time that we live in now, a lot of our world, a lot of our life is spent on our phones, on our devices, and making sure that you're taking care of yourself. And it seems like that you've developed a system kind of on how to deal with the negativity or how to sort of like make things easier on yourself. And I love that. I love that you're taking care of yourself. Please continue to do that, because it's just hard. Social media is hard. It's hard. I know you have a lot of followers, and I know that there are girls who, you know, even 200 or 300 followers who feel that pressure to be perfect. Right. I'm wondering, you know, what advice you have for them about social media and wanting to feel noticed and perfect all the time.
You have to keep in mind that when you're on social media, the point of social media is to share things about your life. That doesn't mean that you're gonna share the negative things, because one, you don't want people praying on your downfall, and two, you don't really want everybody in your business, and third, that's just not the place for it. You get what I'm saying? So people go on Instagram and they show the positive parts of their lives, or they show the fake positive parts of their lives. So if you're on Instagram and all you see is people with money and all you see are relationships, if you're a person with no money, no relationship, and no car, you feel like you have to live up to this standard. And it's like, nah, everybody moves on their own timing. Everybody has to go through life on their own timing. You have to live life as if there is no social media. Like, it's almost like when you see kids now, like your little cousins or something, always on their phone, always on the game, never want to go outside, and you take the phone from them. Go outside and have fun. Like, remember what real life really is about so that you can be sane. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't really try to fit into everybody else's lives, right? Because everybody don't really have it together. They're just showing you the good sides, and they're probably over-exaggerating it a little bit to make it look good for you, but really you think this is real life, and you really think that you have to fit in, and you don't. Because no one has it all together at all. And me, I don't have it all together. I wake up in the morning and sometimes I'm fully depressed. Sometimes I wake up and I'm having an amazing day. Sometimes I wake up and I have my period. And now I'm just, everybody's getting cursed out. Like, you know, you have your moments, but you cannot rely on social media to guide your life or guide you in the direction that you want to be in.
So you talk about how you take care of yourself, you know, taking those breaks from social media. What other ways do you take care of yourself, especially when you have like a really rigorous schedule? Like Jasmine was saying earlier, we've been seeing you in all of the interviews that you've been doing. I know you've been busy, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But what do you do to de-stress and just make sure that you're still doing good too?
To de-stress myself, I sleep whenever I get a chance to. I spend time with my closest friends, and we reflect on everything. Like, we take a time to let out all the things that we've been going through. We meet, like, me and all my friends and my cousins, we meet once a week, like towards the end of the week. And we sit and we talk about our week and the things that we went through, like almost like a therapy group. But it's fun because we're all fun and jokes and games, but I sit down and I reflect on my week and I reflect on the things that's been going on. I make sure I get some sleep. One thing I do need to work on is my eating habits. Like, I'll be so busy that I'll forget to eat. And now it's 1:30 a.m. and I'm eating a meal and now I'm sick. Like, my health, I need to really get on top of. But in terms of clearing my mind, just getting rest, honestly, and doing the things that I enjoy. Like, other than, yes, this is my career. Yes, I enjoy it. Yes, I have fun. It's like the greatest thing I could ever, have, but doing things like going to the museum or doing things like going to the aquarium, like I still do things like that and people don't. You would probably not hear somebody in my position saying like, yeah, I still go to the aquarium. Yeah, I still go to the park. Yeah, I still do this. I still do that. So I do try to, you know, do normal life things still. And I guess that's what keeps me pretty much grounded and, you know, keeps me feeling healthy and keeps me feeling alive when things get rough.
No, that's so real. And sleep is definitely self-care, 100%. Sleep is definitely self-care. And I love the fact that you also do self-care by surrounding yourself with people who love you. Mm-hmm. I say that all the time, that the people in my life are the most important things to me. Mm-hmm. And having strong relationships with the people who love me is what makes me the most happy. So I definitely feel that.
Self-care doesn't mean you have to be selfish. It just means you have to care for self. That doesn't mean you have to like block everybody out and like, you know, like I'm going to the spa, I'm going on vacation for like 5 days by myself. You'll notice you're not even happy because you're by yourself. Like you have, the point of love is to share it. So if you're trying to teach yourself self-love and self-care, you have to share it with people. You have to, you know, just figure out who's who and what's what and what makes you feel good.
I love that. I'm really curious to know who inspires you. Michaela and I talk about, you know, our favorite artists all the time. I'm a huge Beyonce fan. Everybody who knows me knows that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of times when you're an artist, you look up to or draw inspiration from some of the greats, some of the icons. And so I'm really curious to know who your favorite artists are, who's been inspiring you, what your favorite songs are.
My favorite artist is Mary J. Blige, for a fact. I love Mary J. Blige, always since I was a kid. I was raised on music from like the 60s and up, so all the women in music, I know probably like every song. The whole Diddy era, like that is my fashion. It inspired me in terms of like, you know, just having that New York vibe to my music. And yeah, like just the whole Diddy era. Who inspires me today? Definitely Beyonce, because I love, you know, speaking of the acting and dancing and doing all of these things at one time, she is the epitome of that. She is that. You, the goat, like the big, big goat. Like she gets on stage and first of all, singing and dancing, that's not easy at all. To breathe properly and have on heels and do transitions and speak and know your set, that is very, very difficult. And me and my team take Beyonce's, let me not say take, but we use her, you know, her outline and like the way she handles her rehearsals and her collaborations and things of that. We use that outline as well to make sure, even when it comes down to our show mixes, if we have a 20-minute set, we're not going to do just a bunch. We're not going to do like a couple songs and then leave. We're going to mix it up. We're going to add songs. We're going to make it a whole big thing. So I definitely 100% look up to Beyonce. I love her so, so much. I always have. And my favorite songs right now, I'll be honest with you, I've been listening to Summer Walker a lot. I've been listening to everybody a lot. I love SZA. I love Jessie Sky. I love Ella Mai. I love all the women in music right now. Like, I'm so, so proud. I feel like they're my sisters, Ari Lennox. So I'm so proud of all the women in music. But I've been really listening to myself a lot, which is new because I don't really like to hear myself. Like, I like to just make it, like it, and get it out the way. But I don't know. I get over things easily and quickly. So once I create a song and I hear it, I just like to get it out the way and let it go be what it's going to be. But lately I've been listening to a lot of my old music, a lot of new music, creating new things. I finished my album. I haven't released it yet, but I've just been really trying to just, just keep creating, really. I have to listen to myself to understand who I am and understand how to get better. So I've really just been listening to myself. And a lot of my favorite songs now are my songs. So that's a great feeling.
That's cool. I really love that. I've heard from other artists, too, that say that they really, I don't know. They don't really just sit around and listen to themselves, and that's something that they have to get used to. And I think you need to be proud of your work because you put a lot of work into that. So it's okay if you sing to yourself in the shower too. Like, that is totally fine. Well, we've really enjoyed our time with you today. So thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so nice.
We really appreciate it. And I just have one last question for you. You said something really cool about love earlier, but one thing that we do here at the podcast and at the magazine itself, LOVE is actually the acronym for the magazine, and it stands for Lead, Overcome, Value, and Empower. So my question for you is, what does love mean to you?
Oh, girl. Well, let me start off by saying Love is my actual real last name. I was born with that last name. And my middle name is Love also, just in Italian. So my full name is Davina Amore Love. So I've been surrounded by the word love my whole entire life, even when I was, how do you say, like when I was just hating myself or I was hating everything around me, I was always reminded of love. And love to me has so many different meanings. But when I think of love, I always think of family. Like, that's always the first thing that ever comes to my mind. Like, love to me means, like, protection and guidance and, you know, like, just positivity, like, just happiness. Every time I think of love, I just think of what my family means to me. And exactly what you said, like, it's leading, it's empowering, it's, like, just, I don't know, I get really flustered when I started talking about this because I get asked this question a lot and I never have like a basic answer. But yeah, I would just say love means family to me. Love means being protected and being happy and being safe and being guided correctly, whether it's by yourself or from someone else you love or from something you love. Yeah.
No, that makes so much sense. I love that. And I love that love mm-hmm. means family for you because it's your family name. You know, and you grew up with that, and that's really, really actually super special. We are so happy that you joined us today. You are dope. You're amazing. Me and Michaela were talking about how much we love Air. We think it's a bop.
Yeah.
We're really, really excited.
I was listening to it. I'm telling you, I'm going to listen to it on the way home, too. I really like it. Well, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. You're really awesome. So just remember that when things get hard, just know that you're really strong and that you are truly inspiring someone. Even if you don't know who that is, you're inspiring someone to keep going.
Thank you so much, guys. You guys are amazing.
Yes, we're so excited for your new album as well. So we're going to be looking out for that. And thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much. And feel better, guys. We're all sick.
I know. Go get some tea.
Thank you guys so much.